boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Good Monday evening, everybody, and I'm the host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Having some technical difficulties here at the Levi household, but I've got the godfather himself, Mr. Chip Gibson, helping me out with that. I appreciate it, buddy. We're not very far away from the boondoggle, are we? We're less than 2 weeks out.
No, really, yeah. Let me check the...
Really? What's the actual countdown clock there, Chip?
I'm looking for it, man. I hit it somewhere. What did I do with it? There it is. All right. Countdown, 10 days, 3 hours, 58 minutes, and 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 seconds.
Very cool. Very cool. Definitely excited about it. Looking forward to this particular boondoggle. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Some fishing reports or not so fishing reports, unfortunately, to get to, and then kind of a what to expect if we should have a weather pattern hit us like we just did for the boondoggle weekend. Let's all pray that that does not happen. So we got some folks on the phone lines there. We got Mr. Becker joining us as always. How are you, buddy?
Good evening. Good to be here.
Great to have you. It's great to have you.
Great to be the golden voice. The golden voice, man. That's right.
But let's see. It looks like we got Rob DeVore there on hold, and you got somebody else, the 757 area code. I'm not sure who that is, but get to you guys in just a minute real quick. Just wanted to let everybody know the show is brought to you in part by, not really, but we just like to say because it sounds cool, Jackson Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Bending Branches Paddles, Tackle Whips, Kayaks by Bo, YakAngler.com, and various other sponsors. So real quick, I wanted to kind of talk about a product that came into the shop the other day that I thought was really kind of cool, and give these guys a little plug real fast because it's just I had an opportunity to play with it, and I like it. I think it's pretty neat. I think it's functional. I think it makes sense. It is called Green... Whoa. I can't even pronounce it. It's horrible. The G-Mac, or G-Mag, battery charging system from Greenitiative Magic. Greenish, innovative, whatever. Way to blow it. You can go to their website right now as I talk about it, www.greenivative.com. Help me out with that. Yeah, that one. Anyway, basically what it is, it's a battery charger that works off of salt water. You can charge AA batteries up to 100 times with this little unit. It's pretty sweet. And like I said, all you have to do is open the cap, fill the backing with either salt water from the ocean or from the river, and or choose a salt to water mixture that which you can keep in a little ditch bag. And if you should need to charge some batteries, say for your GPS or spot device or something like that, in a pinch, if your battery should die and you're lost, you don't need electricity to be able to do that any longer. So it's definitely pretty cool. The guys are here local in actually manufactured in Cocoa. So, yeah, made in the USA, pretty cool product. I don't know if anybody's looking at the, if anybody's put up a link or not. I don't know if you guys could be able to decipher what I just said, but because I don't have a chat room where I'm looking. So, but anyway, yeah, pretty cool. It charges up to 6 AA batteries at one time, or you can use it as like its own little power pack if you should need power in a tight situation. But did you look at that, Chip?
Mute button. No. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Give me read off the link for me again. I'll put it in the chat room.
Yeah, it's www.green IVATIVE.com. I don't know why I can't pronounce that tonight. I'm
IVATIVE. Green innovative.
Yeah.
I guess. Let me see if that comes up right. Green innovative. Yep. At need power, just add water. Got it.
Yep.
Green innovative.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't the only one who stumbled on that. But anyway, so yeah, pretty cool product. Anyways, these guys will be out at the Boondoggle showing off their product if anyone's interested. If you would like to get one to throw into a safety bag or whatever, it might not be a bad idea to have. He walked in and he showed it to me. He's like, this thing will power 6 AA batteries using salt water. And I'm like, it's interesting. And I asked him, of course, my next question was, how long will it last? And I guess everything with it is made of stainless steel and nickel. So, should last for a while, at least until, you know, it won't charge any longer. So charging a dead battery requires about 5 hours and reduce the number of charges available in the battery charger. So, you know, in a pinch, like I said, not going to use it every single day for your battery charging needs, but if you should be out there and your spot device goes dead or your GPS goes dead and you need to throw a couple batteries in it, you know, if you don't mind waiting just a little bit. You don't have to be near electricity to do so anymore. It's pretty cool. But, yeah, so that's that. What else is going on, man? Goodness gracious, my head is just a cloud right now with everything Boondoggle related. I've been on the phone with everyone you can think of as far as trying to get this thing finalized and make sure everything is ready to go. I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And, yeah. Anybody? Questions, comments, concerns?
Who cut your hair?
What?
No, sorry, man. It's old. You gotta be old. You gotta be old as I am to understand that one. So go ahead.
What do you mean by that?
Up in smoke, dude. Just sit back, you old fart.
Yeah.
Listen to the boy talk.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
Anyway, folks. All right. So. Fishing lately around here has been a little dreadful, unfortunately. I'm not too man enough to say that I got skunked for the first time in probably, I can't even tell you when, this past Saturday. We went out, the water was cold, the air was cold, the fish were cold, and it just was not happening. And it wasn't for lack of fish, because I laid eyes on probably 50 to 100 redfish and double or triple that in trout, all laid up in potholes and sand holes trying to stay warm. So there's definitely fish available. I think it's just a late bite, and I got off the water too early. So with that being said, it looks like we're supposed to have a little bit of a warm-up going through into this upcoming weekend. And if that's the case, that should help things out as long as we don't get a nasty cold front on the back end. However, if that should happen, no big deal. Just take your time partying it up at night and sleep in a little bit, and then just get on the water a little bit later in the morning of the Boondoggle days there. You guys should do just fine. I mean, the fish are still chewing. It's just a matter of waiting them out until they wake up. So me and the guys I fish with, we all kind of agreed we hadn't seen anything like what we experienced the other day. You could flip to a redfish laying in a pothole 10 yards from you and bounce the jig in front of his face 3 or 4 times. You can keep flipping back to the same fish, almost like a bass on a bed, and he wouldn't run off, which for here is basically unheard of. The only problem was that they just weren't chewing, so, you know, it kind of was weird. But the water is as clean as I think I've seen it in years up in the Mosquito Lagoon. And that's kind of what I want to lean towards as far as this conversation rolls tonight. I'm hoping that everyone who comes into town doesn't just have their mind set on fishing one spot and one spot only. The guys from Space Coast Kayak Anglers will be available to help out folks in giving them either directions or leading the way, so to speak, in fishing some different areas around the Space Coast, the Thousand Islands, the Indian and Banana Rivers, and then also the Mosquito Lagoon, and, of course, in the Motor Zone. So, you know, if you come into town with the mindset you're only going to fish in the Motor Zone, that's fine. You know, feel free, but just be aware that there are tons of other opportunities to go seek out different areas and be a little less cramped, per se, and possibly find some, you know, fish that are not being beat up. So that's that. Any comments, questions, or concerns as far as locations or anything like that?
Water.
Water?
Yeah, in the water's good.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you're fishing in the water somewhere, that's pretty good. The water level right now is actually really low, which is kind of interesting because typically we have water all the way up to the shoreline in the no-motor zone, which will lead up to the mangrove trees. Not deep enough to catch anything from underneath the mangrove trees, but just it leads up to them. So bait fish and crabs and shrimp and stuff will make their way up in that really shallow stuff. Thus, the redfish and trout will follow. But right now, Alan Ryland told me that they were just up at the no-motor zone the other day, and the shoreline is now 30 feet or 40 feet off of the what was the shoreline. So the water's down quite a bit. It causes an issue in one hand, and then it kind of raises another good possibility for fishing in another. Typically out front of Cars Park and all the way up to the north, you have a series of bars that run up there. There's two of them, actually, two distinctive bars that run north-south in a no-motor zone. And when the water is high, sometimes it's hard to see it or hard to find those bars because you're only talking about a rise of maybe just a few feet in different areas. So now with the water being low, we're talking there's probably only a few inches above those bars, which is a good thing because then the fish will be more amped to travel in between the two troughs or in between the troughs between the two bars, if you will. And so, you know, making it a little bit easier to possibly find some big fish for those of you that want to soak bait. The Mosquito Lagoon water levels are low, but they're not too terribly low. I mean, we fished, I don't know, probably a good 4 or 5 miles round trip the other day, and we saw fish in various depths of water, and most of the normal haunts that we go and hit had plenty of water in it for the fish to be there, so no real concern there. But yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, we'll just have to wait it out and see what the weather's going to do to us. I think if it's like it was today, it won't be too bad because it was kind of nice out today. And I think that the bite might even start a little bit earlier, but we need to have a couple of days of consistent temperatures for that in order for that to happen. And even if it just stays cold, that's okay too. But, you know, that instant shock of going from 80 degrees to 39 at night doesn't usually bode real well for the fish. So that's pretty much that. Dude, I'll tell you what, it sucks not having a computer in front of me. I'm just saying that. Because I can't see nothing in the chat room. I don't know who's on the line or nothing. So, whatever.
There's nobody in the chat room. It's like one guy. I think some guy named Big Fly Reel.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
No, there's 16 guys in the chat room, man. I'm talking to them. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But
the weathercasters are calling for east winds on the Boondoggle Saturday. East winds at about 10 to 13 knots. So
east wind, 10 to 13.
Yeah. Yep. High at 74, low 62.
Well, that wouldn't be bad as far as temperature is concerned. That east wind is not too bad either, I guess. You can. There's plenty of places you can find to hide and fish from that east wind. Typically, though, on an east wind, it's just not very productive. But the Thousand Islands area would be a good spot to go hit on an east wind. The east side of the no motor zone would be a good place to hit. You know, so we'll make it work. We'll figure it out. But I had a couple of emails. Some guys got with me and they wanted to know, you know, basic information, local restaurants, local tackle shops, that kind of stuff. There will be a index, so to speak, for everybody to grab a copy of when you get to Cars Park, of local to-dos, if you will, including the tackle shops. So I'll provide addresses and phone numbers to all of those businesses, and you can pull them up on your phone and you kind of map quest it or whatever. But yeah, there's a couple of shops that I recommend people go to, and there's a couple of shops that I recommend people don't go to. And we won't get into that on the air, but, you know, for reasons of things that I know and that you don't for the local area, trust me, just stick to the places I tell you to go to, and everybody will be happy and have a good experience. So, but what else, man? Anything else about the Boondoggle we can think to ask or talk about, or anybody have any questions? Chat room?
No, I talked to Mark and Adam earlier this evening. They're planning on being there. Well, Adam's flying in, I think, but Mark and Sam will be there on Thursday, I suppose. And Wednesday, I think. Wednesday or Thursday, and then I'll be there Friday morning, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll be out at Cars Park on that Tuesday, setting up the tent, and then I'll be in and out of Cars Park all week leading up to it. So if anybody's there early, like Wednesday or Thursday, I may be enlisting your assistance in trying to get a couple last-minute things done before bulk of the people start to show up. But had a conversation today with the folks out at Cars Park. Happy, happy, happy. Everyone's happy, happy, happy. And that's always good. And I think they said we had 78 camping spots reserved, which is a pretty good number. 78 sites. So, of course, I'm sure there'll be a few kind of moseying in along the weekend or whatever that'll kind of pop up or whatever. But don't forget, too, if anyone listened to this, whether it be live or via podcast or what have you, the app or whatever, if you're a retired military, you can buy yourself a Cars Park pass. If you plan on never coming back down to Cars Park, that would allow you to camp. And if you do buy said pass, you can be a gentleman and a scholar, much like Mr. Chip, and hook up a very good friend of yours with the guest pass. Thank you, Chip. And that guest pass will be good for those people that bring up to 10 guests themselves into Cars Park to camp or just launch for free in the kayak launch area. And that kind of thing. So, I don't know what they charge for that membership, but, you know, regardless, if you're local or if you think you might come back down on vacation down here or something like that, it's a nice little place to bring the family. So that's cool. One of the things I was told to make sure we tell everybody about at Cars is there are two true launch areas at Cars Park. At the very far end of the dirt road, when you get to Cars Park, you'll know what I'm talking about. There is the main kayak canoe launch. As soon as you come into Cars Park, on your right-hand side, you'll notice there's a boat ramp there. They do not want anybody using the boat ramp for kayak launching. And I would highly recommend that you listen to them because, for whatever reason, the manatees like to get into that little pocket or that cove there and frolic, for lack of a better term. And so it would behoove you to listen to what they tell you to do and not venture into that area. Because while it would be funny to watch somebody be thrown 4 feet in the air by a manatee, it could ruin someone's trip if you lost all your gear because it is a deep cut. So try not to launch there. If you got a buddy who was lucky enough to grab one of the waterfront spots, feel free to launch behind their place. Do your best to kind of commute your kayaks and canoes or whatever down to the launch area by way of vehicle. Depending upon where your campsite is, you could be a little bit of a haul from the launch. So you might want to do that and then just run your truck back or just find a good parking spot for your vehicle. We're going to try and coordinate off a little area where you guys can come in and just park your cars right there and, you know, be able to retrieve your kayaks fairly easily from that point. But we're all working on that still. Other than that, come on out and just have a good time. I mean, it stands to be, as you guys know, one of our biggest boondoggles yet. And, you know, this is like the trial run to see, I think, where we're going to go from here as far as boondoggles are concerned, as far as the size of the venues and the amount of folks that come out and the whole bit. So I'm hoping I've done a good enough job for everybody. I know I'm going to have a good time regardless, and I'm sure everybody else will as well. But leading up to the event, if there's any last-minute questions or whatever, please don't wait to the day before to ask me. Ask me now till, I would say, probably next Wednesday would be okay, because after that, nothing's going to change. I'm just going to let it ride, and what we got is what we got. And because, trust me, I've got a lot of running around to do these next couple of days and pick up stuff. Super excited to see the American Eagle canoe that's been donated. I'm going to get to pick that thing up next Wednesday and bring it straight on out to Cars Park, and can't wait to see who gets to take that puppy home. But we've got some other stuff in the works as far as prizes are concerned. I've got some last-minute people who have jumped on board to send us out some stuff. I'm trying to secure a kayak to give away to one lucky kid. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying I'm trying to make that happen. It'd be cool to have, you know, one grand prize for the kids' raffle. So that would be cool. And it seems like we have a giant influx of children that are going to be there. Last couple of days, I think I've taken a head count for the dinner plates, and it's, I think we're up to like almost 30 kids. So that's really cool. And if anybody has any special requirements. What's that?
Excuse me. I hit the wrong button.
If anybody has any special requirements for dinner on Saturday, i.e., Rob DeVore, you're a lettuce eater, let us know, and we'll do the best we can to try and have something available for you. And I should have a definite plate price Wednesday at 3 o'clock. I'm having a meeting with Sonny's and to finalize everything. And so let's see if there's a kid's plate price versus the adult plate price. I imagine we could probably pull something like that off and post that information for you as soon as we get it on the President's Day weekend boondoggle page there on Facebook, and then also on the actual dinner page that you set up there, Chip. And, yeah, should be good. Bueller? Anybody?
Now, the dinner, that's like, we're just trying to get numbers, but Sonny's is coming in, and you'll buy your plate from them, right?
Yes, absolutely. There will be a plate price. You will pay for your plate. You'll give your money to somebody from Cars Park, and you know that's how that's going to work. So, I think we've got 70 people or something like that on the Facebook page saying that they're going to do the dinner. So I'm not going to get crazy with a plate total. I'm just going to tell them maybe 30 more plates than what we expect via the Facebook thing, and call it good. And if we run out of food, there'll be plenty of food at people's campsites. Bring some food just in case. I mean, I don't want to stick anybody with an overage of food, especially Cars Park. I mean, they've gone out of their way to let us go in there in the first place, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you're going to let some of these other guys talk? There's a bunch of people that have been pushing buttons. So.
Well, please. Like I said, I can't see it, man. So.
Oh, you're not in the. You're not even in the. In the studio.
No, I got nothing right now.
Oh, okay. Well, let me unmute some of them. Let's see. There's a 321 right there. Hello, 321. You're on the air.
Is this me?
Yeah, that's you.
Okay, this Wade.
It's Wade. All right. Let me see who else here. Area code 757. You're on the air with Kayak Fishing Radio.
What's going on, man?
Oh, it's the Wheeler. I'll put him back on mute.
nice.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's, I think it's Rob. Is that you, Rob, 727?
Yo.
Oh, yeah. All right. There, you got them all online now, Chuck.
Cool. Well, I know you guys just listened to me kind of ramble on there for a while about leadings up to the boondoggle, but as far as you guys there on the phone, any of you guys have any questions for me?
Hey, I just wanted to say that anybody's rented a RV site that's bringing a tent. I was in the camp store the other day, and they only really had like 30 to 50 amp adapters, so you may want to pick you up some kind of an adapter, have some power at your tent. I ordered from Amazon. It's like $6 a 30 to 15 amp adapter.
You hear that?
Wait. Good information. See, I did not know that. You know, a lot of people would have been really angry with me. So make sure we post that onto the Facebook page later on if folks should get an adapter for their tents if they need it.
The other thing was just in case, when I went by there, I couldn't use a credit card because their computers were down. So it might be behoove you to have a little cash on hand while you're there. I'm not saying that it's only happened a couple of times while I've been there, but it happens out there. So if you want to buy anything from the camp store while you're out there, sometimes their computers aren't up and running.
Yeah, that's a good call. And if you plan on buying a ticket, I mean, if you plan on buying a sticker to receive tickets for the door prizes, we don't take credit cards for that. So bring a fistful of cash, and we'll get you guys squared away as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, by the way, Chuck, Alan and Pepe are on the forum right now as well as me. I don't see Melita or I don't see Lenny or any of those guys, but we're on there.
Anybody
can't
cool.
see
it. Yeah, cool. Appreciate it. That's all good information, man. I appreciate that. Rob, what have you been up to, man? Getting all excited, getting all ready?
Yeah, man. Is it boondoggle time yet?
It feels like it.
Man.
It feels like it.
Yeah, I've just been doing regular old bad backcast stuff, you know. Fishing, getting ready for the boondoggle, you know, all that stuff.
Well, I know you said you had a fishing report for me.
I do. Now, I heard your fishing report earlier, and you said that things have been kind of crappy over there, and you got skunked first time in a long time. Well, that didn't happen yesterday over here. that was me last weekend. But just so you know, anybody listening around the Tampa Bay area, the St. Joseph Sound flats are full of fish. The water's crystal clear. There's tons of grass everywhere. And there's a lot of fish out there to be had. So pack up your gear and let's go fishing. But, yesterday, me and Steve Dittman went fishing out of St. Joseph Sound. And, you know, we, in the wintertime, you know, especially, I think water temp was like 62 degrees yesterday. So, you know, we don't get out there super early or anything. We were out there like 8, you know, because you got to let the flats warm up a little bit. And we were targeting big trout and stuff. So we get out there, and we got into some pretty shallow stuff. I mean, it was so shallow that I could feel the grass, you know, brushing my kayak. I mean, it was less than a foot. You know, lots of sheep's head around, tailing and that stuff. It was pretty crazy. Some pretty big ones, too. And they would, like, follow your topwater, you know. It was kind of sick. You see the fish, like, following your topwater about 6 inches behind it. And you'd stop it. And it would, like, come up and sip it, like, take a slurp at it, but not, like, get any hooks or anything. It was pretty fun.
Right.
But anyway, Steve was throwing the skitter walk, and he gets a 25-inch trout. And, I mean, this thing just wanted him. It just choked it, man. I mean, it was, he had to get the pliers out and get that. I mean, that thing was all the way down the hatch, man. And, you know, the skitter walks, those things are pretty big. So, anyway, he, you know, we set that one loose. And then a little while later, you know, I'm like really surprised I wasn't getting anything, you know, because this flat, I mean, I have a really good record of picking up, you know, sizable trout on this flat. And sure enough, there it is. And I was just amazed because it was in less than a foot of water, you know, and on a top water. And I got myself a 25-inch trout. So anyway, got a lot of video of it and everything. It was some good stuff. And I managed another ladyfish, giant ladyfish. I mean, this thing, it was over 20. You know how much I like. I mean, this thing was like pulling drag on me and everything on top water on that same flat. And another trout, which missed it a couple of times, and I actually saw it, and it was a beastie too. But I think that one got smart, because if I could see him, I knew he could see me. And then Steve Dittman decided to start putting on a redfish clinic. And you know, of course, I took him to the spot, and he's like, you know, I'm there throwing Z-Mans with Procure. I get nothing, man. I mean, I'm like, I can't even get a pinfish to attack it, you know? And he's like in there, and he throws it in there, and boom. You know, he gets a 22-inch redfish, a 32-inch redfish, and a couple of little, like, 15s. So it was definitely a good day, you know, and then the wind kicked up, so we went home. And so that's my fishing report. I couldn't believe how shallow those trout were. I've never seen anything like it. If you were to tell me that you were going to catch a big trout like that in, you know, less than a foot of water, I'd tell you you're crazy.
Yeah, what's funny about that is most of the time, over here, the biggest trout that you'll find throughout the year are in the skinniest water. I mean, I don't know why they do that, but
well, I know why they do it. And I knew that they would be shallow because the water temp was kind of shallow or kind of cold, you know, 62. And that flat, you know, that it's turtle grass, so it's kind of dark, so it's going to warm up pretty quick. But that's why they were there. You
right.
know, they were like just sunning themselves, I guess. I don't know. I didn't see it before
right.
he ate it, but that's what I would say. That was, I mean, I knew, I would have said like maybe a foot of water, but I'm not kidding you, Chuck. We were in 6 to 8 inches of water fishing, and you know, I was like, man, dude, this is like really too skinny. And he's like, oh no, dude, man, this is, you know, we'll do good here. And sure enough, boom.
Huh.
And that was on my spot.
That's crazy. Well, cool, man. I'm glad that you got out there and got him some fish. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you're looking for big trout, go super skinny and go top water.
Yeah. I was going to say, Mr. Becker, are you still there, sir? Becker?
Mute button. Very good.
Mute button engaged. Did you, oh, hold on a second.
Better late than never.
Not having the use of buttons sometimes is a good thing, but in other occasions, not so much.
There you go.
Did you fish this weekend?
I did, actually. We had a, we put a, new anchor trolley on Robert's Tarpon 120, courtesy of Bill Bragman at Yak Gear, and he does a great job with his pulley set up and the gear that he throws together in that little bag and sends out to people. It saves a whole lot of time. At least it did for me for putting stuff together. But Robert did most of the installation work on it in the dark with a flashlight two nights before, and we wanted to get out. We figured Saturday morning didn't work out for us, but Sunday was supposed to be a little bit warmer and a little less windy a little later in the day. We got up, it was just over 40 degrees, decided to wait until it warmed up a little bit, hit the water around noon. And as we're unloading onto the Tampa Bay side of the beach on this little spit in the park where we're going to fish, it looked like it was a little breezy out into the out in the bay, but it was almost flat calm up on the flats, so to speak, as it were. And he said, all right, well, maybe the wind's not going to blow out here as much. We'll fish the bay side. Well, in the 15 minutes it took us to unload the car, get the boat set up and everything else, we went back, locked up the car, turned around and started to walk towards the boat. And the gale started blowing right across the right across the bay up onto the beach with the foot to foot and a half swells out on the bay. And we looked at each other and said, all right, well, let's we had launched in a spot where we could paddle around into some of the backwater in the canals in this park. And we did that rather quickly, got back into the protected water and went back looking for some flounder and to see if any tarpon were rolling back in some of the deeper holes. Had a couple flounder bites, but no hookups. Didn't see any tarpon. There wasn't much going on of anything until we found a large school of rather engaging ladyfish and trout. Played with them for a while, and then decided to brave the waves to get back to the beach. And we could have chickened it out and landed on the on the lee side of the spit and just dragged the boats across or carried them across. But it was a good opportunity for him to play with a little bit of wind and learn to navigate the waves and, how to cross the stuff and how to turn across the waves. So we did that, and we both stayed relatively dry. He didn't dump it, and I didn't have to go in after him. So it was a good adventure. It was a good time to get out and let him play with the anchor trolley and the wind and see how it worked and the current and all that kind of stuff. So it was more of a shakedown cruise, really, than it was a fishing expedition, but we had a couple tight lines along the way, so good time was had by all.
Very cool. Very, very cool. What day are you planning on coming over? Are you guys going to roll in on Friday?
Sorry, I think you said we were going to come in on Friday. Yeah, he's actually got school on Friday and Monday and is reluctant to break his perfect attendance record. So I'm trying to convince him that leaving school at lunchtime at 11:30 does not break his perfect attendance record on Friday. And, we'll head over and be there hopefully before 2 o'clock.
Yeah, very good. I concur with you. I think that that his perfect attendance record would still be intact because technically he showed up.
Yeah. Exactly right. And I plan to arrange it that way with his teacher over the balance of the week this week. So that'll be happening.
Very good, very good. Well, we're definitely looking forward to seeing you, man. It's been too long. We need to have some mini boondoggles here in Florida so we can get everybody together a little more frequently.
Absolutely.
But let's see. What else is going on in the world of kayaking? Mr. I already talked to Wade, talked to Rob Wheeler.
You.
When are you coming down?
Pretty much I'm going to finish off the show on Wednesday night, and I'm getting in the truck with the Admiral. Oh. And we're going to be heading down Wednesday night, drive through the night. Probably going to hook up with Stan and Holly at some point early Thursday morning, and then hopefully be pulling into cars probably around noon-ish. Hopefully a little
okay, do we have the comms plan in place for the dust-off mission if necessary, or is that a one-time thing?
Say it again?
I said, do we have the comms plan in place for the dust-off mission if we need it, or is that a one-time thing? We used that up at the last boondoggle in Florida.
You used that up the last time.
that's okay, but if you're coming down, you can bring my trailer hitch back. That'd be great.
Oh, I trust me, it's still sitting in my truck.
Just kidding.
And my VHF radio too, dude.
I've got that too.
I got the charger, so I don't know what you've been doing with it.
I actually bought a charger.
Yeah, you got $500 I want you too. I mean, while we're at it, I mean,
No,
don't forget my thermarest too, dude.
I'm bringing everything back. God, Lee, you guys should leave it in my truck.
Hey, you got my kayak cart too while you're at it?
Oh my God. Kayak cart.
And don't lean your rods up against any trees at the boondoggles.
That was me.
I'm
looking for the
I was saying so that he doesn't run over them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Holy
moly. Well, now the Wheeler's officially been railroaded.
Woo-hoo!
That is awesome. Yeah, man, I'm just looking forward to it.
We wouldn't mess with him.
What's that?
If we didn't like him, we wouldn't take the time to mess with him.
Yeah, true. I had a gentleman stop by the shop today who I sold a Wilderness Systems Ride 115 to recently. And he is a retired military officer, I believe. And he's currently staying up at Patrick Air Force Base on their campground. And after talking to him about the boondoggle, he has pulled up his roots from there and will be staying at Cars Park to join us for the festivities. He says, in his words, "I'm not looking to try and catch any fish. I'm more looking for the socialization and the fun-filled activities that should come with boondoggle." So
we don't do any of that. We're just hardcore fishermen.
Yeah.
And
pretty much. I told him.
We don't jocularity or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I told him, if you're not up at daybreak, you know, and you're not on the water before the sun thinks about coming up, then you're not going to
be standing on the dock with our coffee in our hand laughing at your ass.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
What are you talking about, Chuck? You don't get up till like 10:30 and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's because for me it's like a vacation, and I don't like to get up early as it is to go fishing, let alone to do it when I'm like on vacation, especially when I've been fed sweet tea, vodkas, and lemonades by Stan and Holly all night long. So,
well, that's all right. You won't need an alarm clock. Trust me.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Great. Well, let's see. Oh, man.
I'll bring the garden hose.
Bring the garden hose? Yeah, that's not a good idea. Just so everybody's aware, the Cars Park area has a lot of things for your kids to do. There was a question that Holly had brought up the other night when Stan and Holly were cruising on down to Fort Lauderdale for Stan to get his award that he just received. Congratulations, by the way. If you want to type in the chat room what it is that you got, go for it. I don't remember. But Stan and Holly, they made a stop over here at 50 and 95 right down the street from my house. And so we met up, had a couple beers, and we're talking. And Holly asked, if I just so happen to feel the need to knock out an 8-mile run in the morning, because we all know how that is, I mean, sometimes you wake up, you just need to run. So,
you know, that happened to me this morning. I only did 5, but yeah, that, I just woke up feeling like running. So.
What the hell was chasing you?
Yeah, something had to be chasing me for me to run.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
I did that once, and look what happened.
They don't have my event in the Olympics, 100 yards in total panic. So.
Yeah, the whole screaming like a girl thing just throws the microphones way off, you know?
Mm-hmm. So,
is there
sorry,
a way
anyway,
to
Holly running.
See what?
I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah. That sounds familiar.
Now I'm all out of breath.
Is there a place to do an 8-mile run there?
Oh, that
sounds eerily familiar of DeVore at the first Mosquito Lagoon mini fizzle.
Yes. Except it was a thing that I saw hooked.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, there are areas for people who want to exercise while they're in town. Right down the street from Cars Park, there's actually a walking trail or running trail that goes back up into the marshland, and it's a really safe place to go, whatever. It's a good place to go. But typically when the little ditch tarpon are around, you can take that trail and have all the fun you want to have with them down that trail. So there'll be some places for you to do that. Also, too, some of the things, the activities I wanted to tell folks about that their kids can do if they don't want to go just kayaking all the time, which, you know, most kids may or may not want to. There's putt-putt golf available there. I mean, it's chintzy. It's whatever it is. It is what it is. Don't expect to have waterfalls and misty dragons and whatnot. It's just going to be like little box things for kids to play with. It's fun. But anyway, there's horseshoes.
They got gator wrestling and manatee riding too, right?
Yeah, have at it.
For the kids.
Funny that. But there's basketball courts. There's some tennis courts. There's some racquetball courts. There's some softball fields. There's a lot of stuff to do as far as like little extracurricular type activities. If you want to get involved in any of that stuff while you're down, feel free. We basically have the run of the place as much as, you know, we should. Like I said before, the smokers are available, the cookers or whatever. If anybody wants to use one, you can feel free to do that while they last. I mean, whoever grabs them when you get there is pretty much going to have them. If you want to share, that's cool, whatever. Also, too, there is a fire ring shortage for the amount of people we're going to have. There's not enough fire rings to go around. So if anybody here in Florida has a fire ring or has a chimenea thing, you feel like dragging it over here, feel free. But you are allowed to have campfires there, and there's a giant
shortage.
What's
sorry.
That?
Sorry, Chuck. Nothing. Never mind. I thought I was muted.
You are now. So, no, I'm kidding. I'll take you off mute. Anyways, there's a giant burn pile at Cars Park, and you pretty much can go up and just pull from it and burn whatever it is that's in the burn pile. They sell firewood in the camp store as well. They have charcoal in the camp store. They have Cars Park fishing T-shirts in the thing. They got beer. They got tobacco products. They've got chips and candy and other things as well all in the camp store. And yeah, it'll be good. But yeah, if you're going to have a fire, it has to be contained in a fire ring. So, you know, while you get there, basically what they look like at Cars Park is, you know, quartered 55-gallon metal drums. So, you know, find one laying around and grab it.
Another thing, you know, for people that have never been to a boondoggle, don't worry about getting a fire ring or not getting a fire ring, because chances are either one person on one side of you or the other will have one. And that's the best time of the boondoggle anyway, is when everybody gets all piled up around the fire and stuff. So me personally, I don't care if I have one or not, because I know that I'll have a cooler full of like IPAs and stuff. And I'm sure that I'll be more than welcome at anybody's fire ring with a couple of quality IPAs or wheat ales or something like that. Right?
You're welcome to hang out at my campfire. You bring some IPAs out.
Sorry, I don't have a light, dude.
Stan says, I will have fire. And Stan will also have a sombrero on his head. And chances are he will fall out.
Will he have balance?
Probably not by the end of this boondoggle. But then again, who knows? He doesn't have the kids with him this time, which will be interesting, because him and Holly had the kids with him last time. So he was pretty,
It was ragged, dude. And Holly, too.
Yeah, we were all wasted. We thought about someone's going to have pretzel rods. Nice. Bring pretzel rods. You're welcome to my fire. I like pretzel rods.
Okay.
But, so, again, to go over kind of the chain of events, the boondoggle. Boondoggle truly starts on the 15th, which is the Friday. Friday night, we're going to do kind of an impromptu meet and greet. We will have the PA system available to us. We can use the microphone so we don't have to try and scream over everybody, which would be nice. We're going to do a little introducing of folks to each other, kind of, you know, people who come from the from within the industry, vendors and such, and then, you know, kind of just open it up to having fun. I may or may not have music provided. There's a local gentleman who has a little DJ service, and you know, he said he can come out and play music all night long or, you know, for a couple of days or whatever. It shouldn't cost us anything, so that would be cool. I just have to clear it with Cars Park, so
you could,
if that
you
happens,
probably,
that would be cool.
You could probably plug in an iPod to it or something. I mean, I'll bring my collection of, like, melodic deathcore, or, you know, we might just go with some, like, old-school Slayer or something like that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to use the iPod like that.
I will have duct tape in my thing. We can duct tape into the back of a manatee.
Nice.
Wow.
Awesome. Arlie says mosh pit. Yeah, you don't want to.
I'll bring the caution tape.
Hey, Wheeler, you got like an old bivouac cot? We can put Rob on a cot and duct tape him to him, put him out in the middle of one of those softball fields.
Oh, but of course.
I've got a backboard or two. We could strap to that and turn him upside down.
Dude, yeah,
not that
hey,
I've ever done that. I'm just saying.
Come by, Chip. We'll get your mustache down to like waist level by the end of the Boondoggle. You know, we'll play some like At the Gates and like, you know, I Hate God and stuff, and then your mustache will grow down to like your waist.
Oh,
there you go.
It's my Shifu special, man.
Way to take it to the next level, Rob. great.
You can always count on Rob.
Hates God and stuff.
No, it's an evil band.
It's family show, man. Family show. Come on.
Yeah,
that ain't funny, man.
I got you. All I want to hear is this. I expect everybody to just bust out Daniel's style dance. Anyway. It's got to be a good time, man. You know, it is what it is. It's a Boondoggle. I mean, those of you who have been to them before, you understand what to pretty much expect. It's going to be just good times with good people. Fishing's always the secondary reason why you come to a Boondoggle anyway. You know, make the best of it. Don't be shy. Introduce yourself to everybody. That's something that I've had a few people ask me about on my Facebook page and messages is, you know, what if I feel kind of like not left out, but what if I don't feel like part of the group or whatever, if I don't know anybody, you know, how am I supposed to meet people? Well, that's why you come out on Friday.
Not going to happen.
And you hang out at the little social gathering and smoke a cigar with Pepe and drink a IPA with Rob and, you know, ask Chip about how awesome his mustache is and whatever other questions you may have and, or whatever, you know, just introduce yourself. We're all in the same boat, man. We love to fish out of stupid plastic boats. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, that's pretty much why we all get together. So, you know, feel free. I mean, it is what it is. Now, I have pre-warned again the guys from my group. One guy in particular from my group, from Space Coast Kayakanglers, and those of you that are on the page, you know who I'm talking about, that shenanigans will be acceptable up until a point. But we have to remember that we are guests at Cars Park, and the folks who are members who are going to be camping there do not need to be subject to the shenanigans that could be taking place at Cars Park. So if you are one of the folks that thinks that you're going to be the highlight of the activity, the funny man for the entire weekend, feel free to camp as far away from everybody else and do your shenanigans over in the corner.
Just be ready to be tased.
Right, be ready to be tased, duct taped to a tree, or whatever. But don't,
or duct taped to a tree and then tased.
There you go. I like it. And then,
yeah, how do you like me now?
Yeah, I like it a lot. And then I still have a couple cans of pepper spray from when I was a cop, so you know we can do that too. That's always fun. Let's just try and be respectful to everybody who's out there, and to yourself, man. Don't be an idiot. I mean, if there's always a line that gets drawn in the sand, and you know you kind of understand that. All right, we can be funny, we can have a great time, but don't be the guy that everyone's making fun of on Facebook and these shows for the following 6 months, because I am ruthless and I will not let it go. Oh,
what are you talking about, man? You guys always make fun of me, and I'm like perfectly normal at the boondoggle.
speaking of making fun of people and throwing people under the bus for time and time again to come, I told him I was going to bust his chops about this particular event that happened this past weekend down in the Keys. And for those of you that are on the Space Coast Kayak Angler page, you'll know what I'm talking about already. I see that Alan is quickly typing, so he's excited about this. My buddy Chris Flores, as most of you guys know him, the videographer guy, decided that he was going to take his wife down to the Keys for a little kayaking getaway. And Chris
in,
is...
In February.
Say what?
In February.
Yeah, in February. And so, as most of you know, the Keys in February tends to be windy, regardless of what everything else is going on around the world. So, it's just pretty much no bueno as far as going down there and catching fish and doing the things you think you're going to do, because it typically blows 25 mile an hour the whole entire time you're down there. But anyway, Chris needed to borrow a couple of heavier duty rods in case he was going to go after some big sharks or tarpon or whatever. So being the good friend that I am, I loaned him two of my Azet LX6s. What?
Sorry. You said Avid. I already know where this is going.
Yeah. One of them on a Crowder roller stripper trolling rod, and the other one on a, I want to say it's a Crowder snapper rod, but I don't remember. Anyhow, the one that was on the roller stripper rod was a blue Avid. It's an LX6. One of my personal favorites in my collection of rods and reels. I caught my first wahoo on that rod. I caught my first sailfish on that rod. Anyway, Chris gets out, and he's fishing near a bridge, and he's using, I guess, a half of a Jack Crevel for bait. Not really sure exactly what the plan was with that, but he puts it in the rod holder, which he noted prior to leaving it in the rod holder that the rod holders on the Hobies are quite shallow. So proceeded to just throw a spinner rod for snappers with some shrimp, and then all of a sudden the rod goes off, and the rod literally goes off, flies through the air, lands in the water, and it's gone. So my favorite rod and reel combo, offshore rod and reel combo that I own, is now at the bottom of the reef somewhere in the Keys. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Christopher Flores. I hope you enjoyed your stay in the Keys, and I hope you listen to the podcast, because I don't see you in the chat room. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say as far as that scenario happened on tonight's show. However, next Monday night, I will be bringing it up again. And the following Monday night, I will bring it up again. And the Monday night after that, and so on and so forth. So, just kidding. you know what, man? It is what it is. That kind of thing happens. And, you know, I would give Chris credit. As soon as it happened, he freaked out. He called me. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. And I knew exactly what he was going to say.
Why isn't he diving for it, man?
Yeah. No. I'd rather him not do that. I mean, it's a rod and reel. It could be replaced, you know? You go jumping in the water by a Brits McGee's with the potential of 14-foot hammerheads and 18-foot hammerhead sharks swimming around. It's just not a good idea to do that for a rod and reel. But it is what it is. Luckily enough for me, it's the wintertime. I don't have any plans in using that combo anytime soon anyway. So there you go. Tell Chris the only way to replace it is with the Black Dog Rod. This is true. I can do that. Speaking of Black Dog custom rods, Lenny, there in the chat room, is donating one of his sweet custom rods to the Boondoggle Door Prizes. So thank you very much, Lenny. Appreciate that, buddy. Good looking out. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's interesting to get that phone call when you know that you know what the guy's gonna say. It was a lot like this. What's that, Chris? What? Oh. Pretty much how that's pretty much how the conversation went. Yeah, that was a great job, buddy, on the buttons. We were on it.
Try the veal,
yeah. Whatever. Anyway, so rest in peace, rod and reel combo. Whatever. It is what it is. Oh, man. How about that crazy news, man, coming out of Texas? Being military guys. I mean, I know it's totally off topic, but anybody want to care to share your thoughts? Chip?
What happened in Texas?
Serious?
Yeah, I'm just kind of, it's bad, so.
Okay, never mind, sorry.
Yeah, all right, I can leave it alone. You know, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of both victims, and, yeah, not a good situation, pretty messed up. But, way to ruin it, Chuck.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Ding 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 ding. Yeah, I'm logging in to your show on Thursday. That's all it is to it. Just all day. I'll be like,
nice.
What's that, Chip? Oh, yeah. How about? Oh, yeah, Becker, what was that fish report? Button is that?
And the train wreck has arrived.
Yeah, really.
Wow. It was a good show, Chuck.
Yeah, whatever. Cool. So we're at 9 o'clock, and the sheep are starting to herd. So,
get tired. Chip's tired.
Yeah. When Chip starts getting tired, he just starts pushing buttons. But,
he's trying to get you off the air so he can go to sleep.
I need all the beauty sleep I can get. So.
Got to eat his prune and get ready to go to bed. Just tell us about that RV you got there, man. That thing's pretty sweet.
It's the giant Boondoggle buggy, man. It's awesome. So we'll be bringing it down. We got the Harleys in the back, and we're going to be having fun. So,
where are you going to put the kayaks?
They go on the racks on top of the truck, so.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be something to behold for sure. Cool.
I got the decals coming, too, to adorn it appropriately, so.
Oh, okay. Big giant decals, I like it.
Yeah.
Cool, like a NASCAR. Yo. All right, well, everybody who joined us tonight, sorry for the beginning of the show being all jumbled. Technical difficulties sometimes happen, and it is what it is. But, yeah, if you have any questions regarding Boondoggle, please feel free to get a hold of me, whether it be by Facebook or by email. Use my hotmail.com email address. That's the one that I check regularly. Definitely appreciate everyone in the chat room showing up, all the guests and such. Do me a favor and thank all of the sponsors of the Boondoggle at any chance you get, whether it be by Facebook or email. We're trying to do some big things with the Boondoggle this next go-round and probably the one after that. So all of the assistance we can get from you guys and thanking them would go a long way for us. Everybody here on the phone lines, appreciate you guys being here. Thanks for being on that is usually the Monday night show. I do appreciate that. Chip, thanks for bailing me out once again there in the beginning of the show and making my show very, very interesting as always. And Mr. Becker, I hope you have a wonderful week and get out on the water soon. Rob DeVore, Wade, Wheeler, everybody be safe and take a good fishing. And with that, I'm done. Sponsors, I got you at the beginning of the show. We'll do it again real quick. Jackson Kayaks, Florida Coolers, Bending Branches, Paddles, Tackle Webs, yakandbrew.com, and a few others that I may have missed. Sorry about that. I'm tired. Good night.
Boondoggle!
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people. And then there's a bunch of kayakers, too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
This upcoming weekend here in Titusville, we have a couple events going on. One of them is the Kayak Fishing Classics East Coast opening tournament. So for the new East Coast division of the Kayak Fishing Classics, if you wish to get any more information, you can look them up either online or on Facebook, Tropic Bay Kayak Fishing Classics. And that's Captain Pat organizing that fun-filled activity. Also, this coming Saturday, there will be a big cleanup out there in the wildlife refuge. If anybody else wants to get involved in that, feel free to send me a message. See ya.